Hey gang, I want to let you know about two opportunities to gather in real life coming up in August. August 4th and 5th, I am putting on a mostly men's retreat called Love Hard, Live True. And this is for men of all stripes, queer, straight, jock, trans, in non-binary leaning masculine, trans masculine, anywhere in the neighborhood of man. If you recognize a loneliness in yourself, if you feel like there is a way to embody masculinity in a non-toxic way and you just don't know how to do it, if you're wanting to connect with other men who are conscious and trying to do the right thing and become better for our world, then this weekend is for you. It's here in Atlanta. Tickets are on sale right now, and I'm doing it alongside my teacher, Harshita Wagner, who has over 25 years of experience as a wisdom teacher and meditation instructor, and Stephen Lockridge, who is my friend. He's a mystic, a psychotherapist, and just an incredible human being. All of us are wanting to come together to talk about, what does it look like to embody masculinity in a non-toxic way? What does it look like to be vulnerable and exchange hardness for true strength? Strength of being robust and kind and compassionate. It's going to be an incredible weekend, and you need to show up. If this is like, you know, tickling something in you, like if you've like seen those other, you know, men's retreats and you're like, that's not for me. I don't want to beat my chest and run around and put mud on my face. Nah, let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's really connect with one another. I'm so fucking excited about this. So please, if you go to the link in my bio, you can get registered today. The second thing, Queer Kin Weekend is coming up 2 weeks after that, which makes me really, really excited. It was originally just a big, you know, kind of general spiritual retreat, but I'm wanting to hone in on my queer kin. I want to create space for us to explore spirituality beyond the binary in a safer place where we can just, you know, really let loose a little bit. There's something magical that happens when you get out of your everyday around people you may not know explicitly, but because of our openness, because of our shared story, there is just a lot of healing that can take place. So if you've been looking for something like that, please go register now. It's an all-inclusive price. It's like I've lowered it from what it was before because I want everybody to attend. And there's only 14 beds available and 14 campsites. So if you want to come, get signed up. It's the end of August. It's a great way to end your summer. Okay. And if you want information and to get registered for that, you can go to thekevingarcia.com/retreat. That's thekevingarcia.com/retreat. Okay, let's get into the show. I love you. Let's go. You are listening to an Irreverent Media podcast. Go to irreverent.fm in your web browser to find more dope-ass podcasts like this. Now on to the show. Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode of A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary folks living revolutionary lives. I'm Kevin, and it's double feature week because I've been gone for a little bit, and I wanted to put these two episodes back to back with each other because they just complement each other so well. Today's episode is featuring the artist who deconstructed at the same time as you, Derek Webb. If you don't know who Derek Webb is, again, it's probably because you didn't grow up in evangelical subculture. But he's a fabulous, wonderful artist who's been around, you know, just as long as I have, at least. Not longer, obviously, because older. Just kidding. Well, I mean, he is older than me, but that's neither here nor there. Anyways, let me tell you about Derek Webb if you don't know. Derek Webb is a singer-songwriter who's been in the Christian music industry for a long time. He was originally a member of the band Cademan's Call. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then took off on his own to do a solo career. He'll kind of give like a little overview of what he's done and where he's been during this conversation. But suffice it to say that he's been around the block and then some. And I love that we talk about how the Christian music industry, how he puts it, is that Christian used for anything else except for religious description is a marketing term. And I said, bitch, that's a whole sermon. So get into this conversation. Share this with your friend. And if you didn't already, go back and listen to the last episode with my friend Flamey Grant, who recently did an incredible video called Boys Will Be Girls with Derek Webb. It's available now. You should go stream it. It's just so good. And also, Derek really does look like Morgan McMichaels in drag. And on the show, More importantly than that, we figure out what Derek's drag name is. Anyways, I adore all of you. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. And before we get into it, I want to say, if this podcast is doing something good for you and it's been helpful for you in any way, I would really love if you would consider becoming a supporting partner on Patreon, because this shit's not free. It takes time, it takes energy, and also I'm an independent creative, so I depend on the community to help make this stuff possible. And I used to like plug this shit all the time, and then I got tired of doing it, but I'm at a place where I need to ask again. I'm at a place where if I want to continue doing this creative work, you know, full time, I need your support. So to become a sustaining member, please go to patreon.com/thekevingarcia and sign up. It's $7 a month. It could change your life. You not only do you get access to a whole backlog of meditation libraries and extra content, but there's going to be cool new stuff and features and discounts you're going to get going forward, including quarterly merch just for patrons. So again, that's patreon.com/thekevingarcia. And now grab yourself something to drink, roll your shoulders back, and enjoy this conversation with my new buddy, internet friend / real life friend, the fabulous Derek Webb. Also, just a word about the audio on this one. I was in California when I recorded this. My Wi-Fi was a little spotty, so I might cut out a little bit in there, but just bear with me. It's a great episode. Love you. Enjoy. Mwah. Hey everyone, welcome to A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary folks living revolutionary lives. On the pod today, he deconstructed right along with you, turns out. It's Derek Webb, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
And so this is the first time that we, now tell me if I'm wrong about this, we haven't met before, like we've not hung out.
Mm-mm. Not in real life, no.
I would have remembered, and I've just been such a fan of yours for so long. And I said it before, but I'm saying it again since we're Memorexing now, that I think you are so important. I think the space and the complexity that you hold together and offer to people is so important. And I just have been such a fan for so long, and I'm thrilled to be getting to talk to you. And we have so many friends in common too, but anyways, yeah. I wanted my own time with you. And so anyways, I'm finally getting it.
Well, listen, first of all, thank you. I received those very kind words. That feels very nice to hear.
And also, absolutely.
And the feeling's mutual. Big fan of your work.
Well, thank you for that. I think
Stockholm Syndrome was my first, like, secretly not so, like it was the turning album.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm so glad to be with you. We could start a zillion billion places, but yes. I always start off by asking folks, how do you introduce yourself to people right now? And this is assuming they're not going to be a dick about it.
What a great question. Well, and for me, that's tricky too, because I got my start in what's called Christian music, like 30 years ago. I'm probably older than most of your listeners or guests, but 30 years ago, some friends of mine and I in Texas started a band called Cademan's Call. We were just like a college band, but we wound up getting signed on a Christian record label. And so we were promoted as a Christian group, and so I think we kind of leaned into that as we went, which kind of emphasized it in ways that we may or may not have done if we'd stayed indie. But the point is, that's where I got my start. I spent 10 years in that band. What success we had in what's called Christian music, and I always and I people have to forgive me, but I've said this so many times, but I think language, words are important.
You're allowed to say whatever you want in here.
Yeah.
You can say cuss words too, if it feels nice.
Oh, good. Well, I will. Good. Okay. But I just think language is like helpful. It can be really helpful, and words are important. So the word Christian, when applied to anything other than a human being, is a marketing term. It might be a marketing term even when it is applied to a human being. I don't know. But anyways, and so Christian music is what we did. I actually consider what I'm doing now, my new record, Christian music, because that's who I think it's for. If you don't have any knowledge or background or context for Christianity, evangelical Christianity, you're probably not going to super understand or appreciate what I've written. It doesn't mean you can't get down with the beat or whatever, but I have a song about the Apostle Paul on my record. If you don't know anything about evangelical Christianity, it's not going to make any sense, is the point.
Right.
Anyways, so that's what I did for those first 10 years of my kind of career in music. Then went out on my own solo early 2000s and have kind of skated all over the line of gnawing on the hand that feeds me in kind of the Christian music world a little bit.
Yeah, gnawing on the hand. I mean, if it's still feeding you, I mean, like...
It kind of does. Like, I don't really know.
How long can I go?
I know. That really is. And every day I wake up and think, is this the day when it's finally over? Because I am essentially the Bilbo Baggins of indie Christian music. Like,
come on,
I have
Bilbo.
Been...
Are you quite short?
Oh, I am. But the main reason I meant it, but yes, I am. But the main reason I meant that is because I am literally in my 31st year of doing that. We started Cadmans in 92.
Whoa.
And that it's, yeah. And I've just done this job for a super long time, a freakish long time. And so at this point, I don't identify as anything in terms of my spirituality. And where I kind of land on that, you're asking how would I introduce myself to people, and my kind of language around that is that when it comes to things that are invisible, like God, or unknowable, like the future, uncertainty is a great way to go. And so I'm uncertain about those things, but as curious as I've ever been, and obviously still writing about and thinking a lot and talking to my friends a lot about those things, and you do that as well, and I love the way that you do it as well, and you see, you do such a good job of holding space for people who are uncertain about those things, and I relate to people who are certain. I just don't I just can't get there, and I feel like I've been better off since I have been hypothesizing about invisible reality rather than having like certainty around beliefs about invisible reality. It's just been better for me. And so, so I'm like a musician. That's what I do.
I was just going to say, like, the thing I like to tell people is, like, I don't espouse beliefs in anything anymore. I just espouse a practice to connect with that thing that that I'm calling God or love or whatever.
Because that's
just, it's much more useful because, like, we, you know, within the Christian tradition itself, like, 21,000 denominations.
Wow.
Like they can't even agree with like what is Christianity. So I'm like, I'm not going to try to figure this out. And I'm also not going to try to save it anymore.
That's exactly right. And it is continuing to constantly splinter. Even those denominations are sub-denominating. And like it's continuing to get more complex. And what I'm certainly not going to do is fight with people and be, if I can help it, be unkind and hateful and disrespectful towards people based on something that I certainly could not be sure of when it comes to spirituality. Like I try to remain really open about it. But the problem it seems is that a lot of people who go through what you and I would say in shorthand, deconstruction, which essentially for people who don't love, quick categories about things like that, because obviously
anyone who's had a spiritual evolution that stems from evangelicalism will say
that's right the audit of all of your assumptions about invisible reality, and which is perennial, you should always be doing it, but I don't even remember the point I was trying to make now, because I get so this is what I do, I get so bogged down in defining all the words in the thing I'm trying to say, because it matters so much to me that I forget the thing I'm trying to say.
That's okay.
The way I think is like the exhaustive translation of the Bible, where it's, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but
where it's just like God, the creator, sustainer of all things.
Where every sentence is like exploded into, and so all of it reads like a movie trailer, which is exactly what you're, it's like God, the creator of all things. That's the way my mind works. Like, as I saw this great interview with Bob Dylan, in D.A. Pennerbaker's documentary Don't Look Back, which is one of the best music documentaries of all time. And he was following Dylan around in the mid or early 60s, his second trip to England, when he had become a huge star and then had come back there. And right at the very beginning, somebody, and I forget what publication, is asking him this question about, do you feel like your music, something like comforts people, or I forget what the question was, but Dylan said, you see, how am I supposed to even answer a question like that if I know that we both have different definitions to all those words? Like, who are people? And what is care? And what is my, like, and he basically, even at like 20-something, he was insightful enough to not answer, to not give short answers to questions for which there were not short answers. Like he wanted to have every word in the question defined before he would even start to speak about it.
That's the clarity that brings to a conversation. Yeah. And I think, like, especially within, like, spiritual shit
right.
that we talk about,
yes.
it's like, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not right. talking about us praying to Santa Claus in the sky who's watching us and sees us when we're sleeping and knows when we're awake. I'm talking right. about connecting with the thing that is causing my body to stay together and is also yes. causing that tree to suck up water and dirt and minerals and turn it into itself while also eating sunlight.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm talking
super
about.
Super fantastic.
Like, that's
yeah.
what I'm
yeah.
connecting with.
Yes, right. Like, and I think that's why I got on this train of thought, is just to say, like, how important the language is, but also how careful, mm-hmm. how delicate we need to be with the language, because we're all coming at it with really different definitions. And so it's mm-hmm. worth the time, especially in the work that you do and that I try to do, it's mm-hmm. worth the time it takes to slow down and define these words and to take it slowly and to be really thorough so that mm-hmm. we're being understood. And it matters. Like, it's worth, yeah.
If I could give anybody, it's like, take this whole thing slow. Because I think, yeah. especially, like, within evangelicalism, from the jump, you're supposed to be, quote-unquote, sold out.
That's
you're
right.
supposed
That's
to...
Right.
excise your own identities and anything that doesn't actually serve the corporation of the church
right.
in order to, you know, be a good Christian and to earn your salvation, which also you right. can't earn because you're a terrible, no good, very bad sinner. So thank God for God killing God for you.
Right. Wow.
You know,
it's like when you say it in different, when you use different words to say it, I love everything that just happened, because, like, anytime you go to you take the time just to restate a thing in a different way, it's really helpful to determine if that thing makes any sense. Or,
this is, and I think that's, like, what I want to hold up.
If it's ridiculous,
just like, logic is not your enemy, and God is not a mystery. To quote Father Rohr, not a mystery because it's unknowable; it's endlessly knowable. You stupid idiot. And if you're not taking time to continuously get to know reality itself, you cease to yeah. get to know God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, all they do is, you know, sit around with theories.
Yeah.
There's no lived yeah. experience behind it. And therefore, I just, yeah. like, I'm really,
I think,
like,
that's why so... No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I'm excited about in this season of life, like... You know, you're turning the quarter on, like, you know, going into your 31st year of music yeah. making. And I'm like, I don't know. I just turned 33. And so
yeah.
I haven't been crucified yet. So I feel like I'm about to, like.
Yeah.
What do you, I was about to say, what's different now?
Hmm.
What's the difference in feeling between then and now? Like, when you first were starting
yeah.
out, even maybe, like, you know, starting with the band and then starting out
yeah.
a solo career. What's the feeling difference between now and then?
Yes. And I have a very immediate, clear, like, gut answer to it. And that is that when I was in my 20s, and I don't mean to frame it with age, because it really has
sure.
nothing to do with age. I could have been much smarter.
This is when you were
or,
in your 20s. This is just a storytelling
yes,
thing.
Yes, precisely. So when I was in my 20s, the reason I was doing this work, there's a great irony coming, but... the reason I was doing this work felt very selfish to me. It felt very like, I write songs because I'm trying to creatively work my way out of complex emotional situations. And so, I mean, I just write my way out of it. And I'm not like a professional autobiographer. I'm not a prolific writer. It's real work. It's hard work for me. And it has not gotten easier over the years necessarily, but I trust the process by which it comes and all that sort of thing. But the point I'm making is, back then, I was only looking at myself. I was only looking at my story, my life, my lived experiences, my friends, my immediate world. And what has changed over time is that, the interesting thing that will bring the irony about is that at that time, a lot of people, in those early years, a lot of people would tell us, for instance, they would kind of thank you for your ministry. which I received.
Thank you for your ministry. Hallelujah.
You know what I mean? There was so much of it. And that was the highest compliment that someone could think to give. And so I receive it. Like, I received it. And I was like, listen, I hear what you're trying to say and thank you. Like, I'm not going to be an asshole and correct you or something. And you're trying to give me you're trying to be kind and I receive it. So, but I never considered what I was doing, and our band never considered what we were doing ministry, not remotely, which is to say, why were we showing up to work every day? Was it in order to do good work and write good songs and perform them well? Or was it in order to use the music and that whole thing as a vehicle, a tool by which to communicate a worldview and convert people to it? And so, like, were we trying to convince people of our way of thinking and using music to do that? Or were we doing it just to do it and to do it well?
And because so you enjoyed it, because it was the thing that made you want to get up in the morning. Jesus.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
go their whole lives without finding anything that gets them right. out of bed.
Yes, and that's why we did it. That's why I still, to a large extent, do it, is because it brings me joy. And so I've always considered myself a professional vocational musician, like that, not a minister using music, but a musician. That was, it didn't yes. have to go any further than that. And if ministry was happening, then fantastic, like that. But it's, they always say, like, the best ministry is the ministry you do on the way to ministry, or whatever it is. But the point is, what people were mistaking for ministry was just me kind of feeling selfish. I mean, ultimately, about the way I was writing songs, and just it seemed like a lot about me. And while it certainly still is, God knows, it really changed in the last 10 years. So 2017, fingers crossed. So I made that record. And then the response to that, and that was like an emotionally desperate move. Like, it felt like an emotionally desperate album, like, because everything was very fresh, and it was like, normally I have a little bit of detachment from whatever the records are about by the time they're coming out. That record was very immediate and whatever. But the response to that record it was more about people telling their stories. It was the first time that it really happened, that had happened really as much to me, where people's responses to the record was kind of their own stories of loss or grief, or especially around spirituality. That was what a lot of they, and I realized, man, there must not be enough spaces for folks to feel safe to tell these kind of stories. And that was so much of the response that I got. And I loved that feeling. I loved that it made people feel less alone. I loved that it was comfort, that it seemed comforting to people to hear that. And since then, I have literally, like, my motivation for what I'm writing and why I'm doing it, I literally now consider it, here 31 years in, you know, not identifying one way or the other spiritually or whatever, I finally feel like I'm in vocational ministry. Like, that is finally what I'm doing. Because I literally think, what do people who may be now or may soon be where I am feeling what I'm feeling, experiencing what I'm experiencing, what would be helpful language, what would be comforting, what would help them feel less alone? And I literally, for the two records I've made since that record, that has been my only preoccupation. It's been the thing that keeps me wanting to do it. And when I play shows now,
yeah.
it all of it just feels different. So I feel like I'm in
ministry
now somehow. And that's what feels different from then to now.
Hell yes.
I know that what you're talking about. It's like now on this side of my life, where I'm doing something that I am passionate about, that I am fully my authentic self in, is like, I feel like this is ministry. It, like, you know, this is the thing that's helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, you know, like, I wouldn't even call it that. It's just like, it's what, and what's funny about it, going back to something you said about selfishness in some ways, is that I still have, like, the motivation for me doing these things, you know, underneath it all is, like, I want to do it. It makes me feel good. And there's a line from A Course in Miracles that I love. It says that the teacher of God is generous out of self-interest, for they only give what they could never lose.
Huh.
And it's like, I give the, like, I want, like, I want the experience. I want the good feeling. I yeah. want the high of creating the art, or like being in the room with the people and creating the experience, because it does yeah. something good for me too.
Yes, absolutely. And,
but now on the end of it too, is like, I'm no longer worried about if God is quote unquote getting the glory, because I understand that if someone is made more whole by being in a space with me and my friends and an experience that we create together, then that's a good thing.
100%.
And that's God quote unquote getting glory or
yes,
whatever.
That's right. That's right. I love that. Yeah. Mm. And you're right. Like I do, I probably enjoy it more than I ever have, but it feels to me like an extension. It feels to me like,
yeah.
like I'm at least aware, because I have had people say, oh, when I've said things like this to my friends, and they've been like, well, but like, I feel like I still got something out of, you know, like hearing a song at a time, or even though that might not have been why you were doing it, or it was comforting to me. And yeah, that it's great. It's incredible that can happen. It could have been further from my intention at the time, mm-hmm. but so it did, but luckily it doesn't keep that from happening. That's a thing that we all get to be grateful for, that mm-hmm. me included, because it wasn't something I did on purpose. But now you at least get to have there's something really lovely in the awareness that and the intention that you wish for it to happen, that you imagine the people at some point, someone hearing it and that person feeling included or feeling not excluded, I should say, at least like mm-hmm. feeling understood, feeling seen, like that matters to me in a way that it never, mm-hmm. it wasn't on my radar before. And I'm sure it's because I'm older and I was younger and all those things play in, but that yeah. is definitely what's different about it. There's a different mm-hmm. level of enjoyment about it because I'm doing it for other people who, there's something about the idea that people could feel less alone mm-hmm. by way of something that I did on purpose. That is just a thing that it's a motivator, and it's pretty
cool.
It is. It absolutely is, and I love it. Yeah. Anyway,
I want to pivot, if I may.
Great.
I want to talk about the music video.
Yeah.
For Boys Will Be Girls. First of all. So I'm currently editing the episode with Flamie Grant that I did with her a couple weeks ago. And
I cannot wait to hear that.
She was like, you gotta wait on releasing it until it's released. I'm like,
well, that's what we've been doing, unfortunately. It's been a couple of months. We've been holding on to it.
No, it's fine.
For reasons, but now it's out, so good.
Listen, I don't give a fuck why. I am glad it's out now. Like,
yes, I am too.
Because
so grateful.
First of all, Morgan McMichael's Fish. Like, when I saw it, I was like, she looks like Morgan. She looks like Morgan
wow.
McMichael's a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I said that to Flamie, she was just like, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Do you have a drag name? That's the first question.
Yeah. So
we gotta know.
I don't I guess if I don't have an immediate answer, then I guess I don't, because it's like if I did,
ooh.
then there were a handful that we were playing with, and I was borrowing the ethic from Flamie's, which is easily my favorite drag name I've ever heard. Flamie mm-hmm. Grant is the best. I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's going to be hard to top that. But
I've got a couple of Christian themed drag names for you.
Okay.
So,
I wonder if you happen to come up with any of the ones that we have. Probably not. Ours are pretty specific.
Let me pull up my list.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you our few, because mine are quick. And a few of them were homages to people who we love and who do good work in the world and are good people that we know. But so one was, so I had the blue wig. And mm-hmm. for people who don't catch the Easter eggs, like Flamie's wig and my wig together are the trans flag.
Come on, Easter eggs. Come yeah, on, little nods to the trans community.
Come on, if we can. But I had the blue wig, and so we thought. And Crystal Lewis is a mutual friend of me and Flamie's, and Crystal is a lovely human being and an ally and a general badass, incredible singer. And so we thought Crystal Blew Us. is on so many levels, so good.
So,
yep. So we really liked that. Crystal Blew Us. And then another that we really liked. Although some of my my people don't love this one, but I don't know why they wouldn't, is Bitch Mullins.
Like, yeah, love it.
That feels like such an obvious one. But I had a soft vibe, so maybe that's a little too, like, you know, Bitch Mullins. Like,
I mean,
a nice
young lady named Bitch. I like it.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, but yeah, do you actually have a contribution?
I do. I'm gonna wait.
Other than the airplane, do you have another contribution?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm outside. I was like, oh, I'm gonna sit outside on the deck because it's sunny and nice. And then I forget. Oh yeah, y'all basically are like having like a military conflict in your city every day.
Yes,
but
right.
Like Atlanta's not far behind you, so.
If I was on my deck, there'd be constant airplanes. So don't feel bad.
Yeah. And my friend is inside working on his computer and recording stuff. So it's like, you know, we can't.
Yeah.
I'm gonna scoot over.
I'll do it in the same place.
The name. So my drag name that I'm currently holding is Gagatha Christie.
Incredible.
I was very happy with that name, especially because when I first performed, the queen who was hosting said, "This is a fucking drag queen name," and I'm like, "Yes,
wow,
so,
beautiful."
The one after this I have was Goodwill Cunting. My original drag name when I first did a performance at my seminary, because of course, because I'm a goddamn Christian.
Mm.
Was Anabaptist.
That honestly though is amazing. I mean,
that one was my favorite.
That's kind of a deep cut too, you know.
You really got to know your plot lines within.
You
the
really
Christian
do.
Tree.
Uh-huh.
There's also Kathy Licks.
Okay.
Evangelista Lutheran.
Oh, these are incredible.
Bride of Saint Christ.
Okay.
Now, this one, I don't know if you're going to get this one, but if you do get it, I think it'd be very funny. The name is Free Barabbas. First name, Freeba.
Oh, my God.
Last name, Rabbis. Freeba Rabbis.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And only,
I mean, these
and the
are
thing in- is, like, only evangelicals are going to get that cut.
Right. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why are they saying Free Barabbas?
Yes. These are for sure deep cuts.
So,
did you tell these to Flamey as well?
You know, I don't. Some of them, I'm
cannot,
sure I did.
Okay, I can't wait for her to hear these if she hasn't heard them. Okay.
And then I just thought about like.
Incredible.
And then this one has nothing to do with like Christian stuff, but I thought that like a drag king could just be Pedro the Lesbian. Instead of Pedro the Lion.
I love it. That's a great one actually. Yeah.
So.
Pedro the Lioness.
I just like Pedro the Lesbian.
I know. No, it's too good. Yeah, it's too good.
But to bring it back.
Have you had Dave on here?
Who?
Bazan? Have you had Dave Bazan on here? Oh, well, you should.
Listen,
that would be
make
a fantastic conversation. I will.
Make
I will.
An intro.
Oh, 100%.
To talk about the music video.
Yes.
For those of you who haven't seen it, I'll link it in the description below. Mm. You're sitting there. It's shot in a church. As you are singing through the song, you are being put in drag. And so by the time y'all get to the final chorus and bridge, it's you and Flamey Grant in the state of Nashville, Tennessee, where they're trying to make it illegal. But apparently a federal judge said, "Gew."
Yes. Oh, my God. You could almost hear in certain parts of Nashville the eruption when that news dropped. But
mm-hmm.
And so that's you know, like been a speck of good news in the midst of such a shit show in Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got, so Flamey and I, it was actually kind of Flamey's idea. Like, because I had wanted to include Flamey in the conversation around the record because we're friends and we have great conversations. We actually met for the first time when I was doing the podcast, Karen and Flamey's podcast, Heretics, Heathen Happy Hour.
Yeah, I think that
Heathen Happy Hour. Yeah, really, really, really funny podcast, really good podcast. And years ago, I was out there, I guess in San Diego, And so we started our relationship having long conversations, and so I wanted to, even though so my new record's called The Jesus Hypothesis, and it does have a lot about kind of revisiting the going back to the place where you deconstructed and tore a thing down, and kind of sifting through the rubble of it to look for beauty and meaning and things that you want to bring with you. Like everybody says when they get out of a thing, like, oh, now I'm completely open to anything. Usually the caveat is other than the thing that I've just come from, which is understandable. But there's a line on the record that basically says, like, where once I had it, or where something about where once I used an axe, now I'm going back with a stitch and a scalpel. It's like, I want to go back and be a little more surgical about removing the baby from the bathwater. Like, I don't want to lose or miss things that in my practice, as you said, going forward, that I think are meaningful and beautiful, and I don't want to lose those things. So even though that's kind of the theme of the record, there's kind of a theme below it about gender identity and sexuality. And there's the song that this video is for is a song called Boys Will Be Girls. And it is a song that was written for a dear friend who came out to me. I think I was one of the first people that they shared it with. And I wrote this song as a response, thinking that it might be a thing they could stand to hear more than one time. So I thought I would write it into something they could bring with them. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stand on its own. But when I was talking to Flamie about just kind of like help me think of ways to highlight some of these parts of the record, and Flamie was like, well, what you ought to do is you ought to come out to San Diego and let me just put you in drag. Like, we'll make a video like dragging Derek Webb, and I'll just like take you to drag queen boot camp, and we'll just dress you up. And I was like, well, that sounds like amazing. And yes, immediately. But also, and we started to think about it, and we thought, what if we made a video for that song and I sing it while you're literally a boy becomes a girl in the course of the song. Right. That could be amazing. And we started to kind of conceptualize, and so I was so grateful, honestly, that I was really like, yeah, it felt like hallowed ground, like to go first of all into that space, that church in San Diego, which Flamie filmed a video there too, and they are they work so hard to provide such a safe space there. They're such an amazing
they really
community.
Are just like,
yeah,
living saint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're a great community, and they immediately said, yes, we'd love it. Come and film your drag video here in our church or whatever. Because we thought there would be something really powerful. Initially, we thought, you know, what if we do the transformation, and then there's like a scene at the end of it where I like go out of a door with my guitar, and we march down, and we march into the church and sing the last chorus. And then Flamie was like, no, like, we do the whole thing in a church. Like, you don't leave a church to do this. Like, we do it in the church. Like, the church is the place that you are welcome to do it, and you stay, and you, and I was like, my God, yes, of course, that's right. And so, anyways, like, the fact that Flamie was willing to do this, and for me, was like such a, I felt very grateful to have, for Flamie to trust me enough as a friend to do this thing with and for me. And it really was transformational. And I know that, I mean, I don't even mean that as like it was literally like, I realized, because I'd never done it before.
I think everybody should, like, regardless of your gender.
Yes.
Put yourself in some kind of drag.
Absolutely.
Because it is sensational.
It is.
The feeling and the power that comes with it.
Yes. It was power, and it was also like forced empathy. It was like, I can literally see things from a different perspective. Like, I'm suddenly in like a different skin. I'm a different person. Mm. And now I can look at the world as this person and say, how does the world look to me as I am now versus who I was a few minutes ago? Mm-hmm. And how can I bring that knowledge with me into trying to have empathy for people around me who are not like me? How can I see things differently, literally? But there was, my favorite thing about the video shoot was the fact that the church had an event happening right at the end of our long shoot day, which was a real bummer at first, because we were like, you know, we're going to get, because the light was amazing in there, and we're like, we're going to get to the end, and then we're going to have and we're going to have to stop. And we're going to have to leave for an hour, and that could be really disruptive, and that could be terrible. But here's what happened is we basically got up through all of the close camera stuff we did in the first stretch. And so I was fully, you know, Crystal Blewis or whatever, whoever I was. I was fully transformed, and then we had to take a pause. And then everything from there for the rest of the video, all the stuff of the two of us duetting and standing and singing together, we did after. But what it caused us to have to do was take an hour to leave this church. It's a very active part of San Diego where this church resides. And so we had to go leave for an hour. And so here's my wife.
You had to go somewhere.
Yeah. So my wife, Abby, who was my stylist on the shoot, literally helped me and got me into my, you know, dress and my bra and all my, you know, like helped me get
got
into
you dragged
my,
out.
He got me dragged out. So Abby was there. And then Logan Martin, who was our director. So it was Logan and Abby and Flamie and me, the four of us walk out of this church and walk, you know, three or four blocks down San Diego and, you know, and out in a very busy area. And it was, I'm so grateful that I got to be out in the wild, that we were out and I got to experience just the way. And then we went in and we sat down, we had some food, we had some drinks, and then we walked around, and that was the best part for me, is being out in the world just and it was like I felt a different, you really can't explain it, but there was like a it was a power. And here's what, and here's the thing I will liken it to, just because it's one of my favorite things.
Sure.
So we, like the rest of America, really, here in our house, are obsessed with Queer Eye and all of the absolute unbelievable people who work on that program. And we're just obsessed. And Abby and I will, and we're having an especially hard day or week. We need to sit down and just watch any episode.
Watch something because kind and sweet.
Yes. Yes. Something
so
generous
good.
And
good.
Something.
It's chicken. Yes. It's gay chicken soup for the soul. It really is.
Well, and for all souls. Yeah. And so it's like, because at the end of it, we look over each other and we're both just Cheshire cat grinning and probably crying a little. We're so happy and it just makes us, gives us so much joy. But the point is, there's this moment, especially with Tan, when he puts people in clothes that they've not been in before, that finally feel like they fit them in a particular way. And sometimes it can be all kinds of different, the fitting of the clothes can be a lot of different reasons for a lot of different people. But for him to kind of, for people to trust him and for him to see them and to listen to them and then start to style them into the people who they are on the inside, they see themselves looking like that on the outside, and they will change. And you see it on the show in almost every episode. The moment when he gets it right, they start to walk different and they start to stand different and they start to look at themselves a different way. And he talks about it. He's like, you can see it. They start to strut a little bit. They start to kind of feel themselves a little bit. It's like this whole thing that happens in the transformation. It's beautiful. Jonathan Van Ness obviously does this as well with what he does. They all do it in their ways, but especially the ones who work on the exterior, which is really your interior work as well. But when, the ones who are doing that work. And as soon as I was in, was fully transformed and out, I acted differently. It gave me a different whole set of feelings, and I don't know. I can't even explain. I think the moment, and that just so people can watch for it, the moment where it really starts is the whole shoot. I didn't see any of it. It was all day, by the way. I mean, the video goes by fast, but obviously we filmed it in such a way where it all gets done in about 4 or 5 minutes. But I hadn't seen it even in that we had even had the camera tilted at a thing where I couldn't even see my reflection. They didn't want me to see any of what was being done. And the first moment where I see what Flamie did is on camera. She goes and gets a mirror and brings it over and stands next to me and puts it in front of me, and I see it for the first time. And my whole face just lights up when I see. And it's like that. And I'm so glad we got that, because when you see that moment, you know that must be what it is. But it really was. It was like the first time I got to see what happened. And it was transformative. And you're right. I think everybody, it's like, I don't know how this would work, but, it's like, Nashville has the escape game where you can go and it takes an hour and you go in there and they put you through an experience. They gotta have a place where they have people and you can come in and they can literally turn you into a whole other person in an hour. And then you get to leave changed. It would be beautiful.
Listen, especially I think as like a especially for men. Like, yes. Dead ass. Like, I've been in this season of life where I've gotten, like, I'm beginning to think about what would it be like to do, like, you know how, like, we had, like, promise keepers and shit back in the day that just, like, ruined all of our fathers?
Absolutely.
And then by proxy, ruined all of us.
I'm like, real men really love Jesus. Yeah, all the bullying, yeah, exactly. Into, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta fucking love Jesus. Or
else. It really was what it was like. Because what were you saying, though? We had porn. All that. Yeah, exactly.
I often
for
think
men
about,
especially,
like,
yeah,
creating a space for men where they can learn how to be soft and learn, like, because they're so. I just know so many men that they would benefit if you just painted your nails one time, so that you could realize you're allowed to be a little bit soft.
Yes.
You're allowed to be a little bit dainty. You're allowed to, like, and also, like, that kind of, like, care and softness is just, like, you think that you're not owed it. You think that you're not supposed to have it because you're a man. You think you're not supposed to have any sort of comfort or any sort of joy or anything outside of just towing the line.
Yeah. Or any sort of decor. Any sort of, like, you know, it's like everything is like, no, I got to get, like, my button-up shirt and my khakis, and that's, like, it. And it's like, no, you can, like, adorn yourself a little. Like it's a, I totally agree. Yeah.
I just want, like.
I think it would be a cathartic emotional experience for a lot of men.
Yeah,
it was for me.
Because, like, for the first time, just, like, you in that moment are completely stripped out of masculinity.
Yes. And it's like an energy exchange.
Yes, and it's also one of those things where it's just like, it's not that you erased any part of you, it's that there was a part of you that was just now highlighted. It was almost, it's like the turning of a gem.
That's exactly right. Mm. You're totally right. And I won't say that I didn't think I had a revelation in my future at the end of that day, because I knew I did. Mm-hmm. But even for me, it was more than I was expecting. Like, it really was like, it was really something. I mean, it really was.
Listen, and God will get you when you least expect it. You gotta watch out.
Well, it was a lovely experience, and so if people want to watch it, they can. And I hope
and they
it's,
should.
And I hope that people, I don't know what I hope. I hope that seeing it makes maybe people feel invited in. Not that they don't need my or anyone's permission to do it, but, like, I hope they, if someone took your permission, I hope that you feel welcome to explore those parts of yourself, or to see people differently, maybe, who you see a certain way now, or I don't know what, but I just know that for us, it was a really beautiful thing. And so we filmed it and we're sharing it. So anyway, so thank you for your kind words about it.
Yeah. I loved it. Would and will watch again. I always wrap up conversations asking the same five. It's not quite
amazing.
Rapid fire questions, but it's all the same five questions. So,
great.
Derek Webb, are you ready to play Just One Thing five times?
Yeah.
You
have a button with that effect on it.
My soundboard's back at home, you know?
Okay.
You know, so.
We'll add it later.
We'll fix it in post, maybe.
In post.
Maybe. That's a big maybe. I'm probably not going to fix it in post.
No. Bow was great.
Actually, that's going to be the soundbite that we pull out for the future soundboard that I'm going to have when I have an editor.
But put some echo on it or something. Make it sound kind of cool, but it should be the bow.
Yeah, it'll be auto-tuned and added.
Yeah, like, you know, that's what it is.
I had a friend who, like, when we lived together, he was a producer, and so, like, we oftentimes would just fuck around, like, making beats and, like, stupid pop songs. It was very fun.
Absolutely. Which everyone should. Okay, yes,
what
five questions.
What is one
ready.
Thing that you like about yourself?
Oh, wow. You already know. I mean, that's a tough question.
What do you like about yourself?
Just
one thing.
I like that I'm unsure about all the things I grew up sure about. Like, nice. I really, really love that part of my life and my personality right now. I do. I love it.
You're an Enneagram 4, right?
I'm actually a 5. I'm a raging 5.
Delightful.
But I've got a four wing over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like, because I
can smell it on you.
I'm an artist, but I'm wired more like an artist manager. Like I'm a hardcore analytical detail rational type.
Thank God for you, because I'm not those things. I am. Anyways,
you're perfect though.
Thank you so much. Don't butter me up. I'm vegan. I'm not vegan. Also, that's not my line. I took that.
I loved that actually though.
It's some comedian somewhere. If anybody knows who said it first, please tell me in the comments.
Please let us know. Yeah.
Question number two. What's one thing that you're super proud of? Or just regular proud of?
My kids. I have a 14, 15-year-old, and they're just like the best people. And they're super different from each other and from me in so many ways, and I just love them. Carter and Ash. Anyway.
Nice. What's one thing that pisses you off or is a pet peeve? Yeah, you got to go through all the fingers.
What's
one two,
thing?
Three.
Yeah, that's the third. Oh, wow, that's genius.
I was an RA at one time, so I was
you were.
Oh God.
I'm trying to decide if I want to go like pet peeve, like a thing that's just like I don't like when people do this; it gets on my nerves. Or if I really want to like, because what I really hate is, well, we said it already, kind of, but it really is the thing for me is the lengths to which people, and I often will go to give short answers to questions for which there aren't short answers. And that's where we get into all kinds of trouble. Like we just pull all the nuance out of everything. And then we're not even talking anymore. We're using short sentences with code words in them, with 100 different definitions. We're being intentionally misunderstood by each other, and it puts us on two sides of a line, and I hate it. And I feel like it's what we're spectating every day on the internet, and it's awful. And it, so much of it's just needless. Anyway, yeah. So I hate that. I hate that.
I would say the same thing. That's like most, like anytime, it's a reason I don't debate anymore with people on the internet, for that very reason that
yes.
We have two different definitions of what the Bible is. When we say Jesus, we mean two different things. When we say the church, we're talking about 14 different things.
Exactly. And so we're talking like right past each other. There's no point. There's nothing constructive about doing it. Why would we? Let's talk about something else.
Here's another thing, too. I was like, do you want to come on my podcast and debate me? No, bitch. I don't want to come on your podcast and debate you. Do you know why? Because that you don't really want to talk to me. You don't really, to debate someone, you have to believe that there are two sides to something, and you don't believe that.
Wow.
And frankly, neither do I.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So, no.
Like, I'm interested in connecting and seeing if we can find our way through complexity into more complexity that helps. But like, no, do I want to distill and reduce something down to two sides and fight you on it? Why would
And also, this is the, like, my sexuality is not the most interesting thing about me.
Right.
My gender expression is, I mean, it's very interesting depending on the day, but it's not the most interesting thing about me most of the time.
Which I believe.
So it's like, why can't, like, if do you want to be friends with me? No?
Right.
Well, then what are we talking about?
And that's usually what it is. It's like, would you want to connect with me and talk to me under any other circumstances? If no, then no. Like, are you interested at all? Like, are we going to be friends after that? Like, are we, like, because if we're going to hang out for an hour, then, like, you know, like, are we really investing in anything? Or are you just trying to get clicks on your podcast?
How many
you
cups
know
of
that...
coffee does it take to bring equality to your church? The answer is organizing.
Wow. Yes. Right.
There's two more. What's one thing that you are committed to?
My problem is not that I don't have a quick answer. I have so many.
Just one. That's why it's called just one thing.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it is called that.
Doesn't have to be the most important. Just one.
No, you're right. I know. See, you're seeing my struggle right now. Fighting through my instincts to find kindness. The reason I'm saying this is because this is the thing that we are talking about in our house. Because we have our kids for 2 weeks for summer right now, at least for this stretch, and we don't all agree on stuff, not by a long shot. And what we talk about often here is I don't really ultimately care what your opinions are. I definitely don't care that your opinions are my opinions. The only thing I'm ever going to call you out on is if you are expressing those opinions in a way that is disrespectful or unkind. The only thing I care about is kindness. So as long as we're being kind to each other, oh man, let's disagree about everything. Mm-hmm. I just need us to all be kind about the way that we express those opinions, mm-hmm. those beliefs, whatever it is. And it matters a lot to me. And also because I am not good at it and it's not the thing I'm known for. And so it's a fight for me. Yeah.
Well, that's not
true. So I'm committed.
I like to think that I'm much more of an asshole than I actually am. Like, because on the inside, yeah. It's because the thing about a Scorpio is like, I'm not going to tell you that I hate you. You're just never going to hear from me again. You know, I don't need that drama.
Right. Well, but we're the only ones hearing our internal dialogues, mm-hmm. and that's based on what we know, what we both know about ourselves from the beginning of our experience with ourselves. And I definitely have those dialogues going in my head. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's it. That's my one thing.
Last question. What's one thing you want to do before you die?
Oh. What do I want to do that I haven't done before I die?
Before you croak.
I want to finally take a honeymoon with my wife. We got married like right before the right before the pandemic. And some people would say, oh, but then you got to spend 2 years locked in a house together. And that's true. And it was amazing.
That's not a honeymoon.
Well, no, it's not. And we haven't been able to do it yet. And I'm only saying it because it's starting to feel like one of those things that's never going to happen because we're so busy and this and that. But like, I want to disappear.
Within 12 months.
No, I know, but this is what my friends say. And now we're friends and I need you saying it. But like, I really, because this, there's a reason why I didn't just randomly, but like, I have such a tremendous partner. You don't know often when you choose a partner that how incredible they're going to be through very unexpected, unforeseen seasons. I could not have known what a tremendous partner I was signing up with. And Miss Abby Parker, man, such a badass, such a tremendous partner. My first thought is, what are we going to do? And that's, yeah. So I'm like, man, this gal deserves to get out of town. Like, we want to, like, go get across the ocean. And we want to, like, her favorite city is Amsterdam. I've never been. So that's what we want to do. We want to ride bikes around Amsterdam.
I want to go to Amsterdam and do a lot of things. But
Yeah. But we're going to ride bikes while we're doing those things.
It's a different podcast for another time. I enjoy you so much. And
I do too.
I think you're cool as shit. And let's be friends. Like,
we are nice. Friends now. I actually you can cut it out if you want, but I have something that I really want to. I've talked to a few mutual friends of ours about that I really want to talk to you about. And we'll do that. We'll do that offline. But it really was such a. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your friendship kind of behind the scenes. You've been very encouraging and you've DM'd me at moments and had kind words for me, and I've really appreciated it. And I just so love the work that you do. I love the space that you inhabit. I want to be a wind in your sails always. So I do hope that we can connect like really soon. Hopefully we'll be at some things together soon. I think we will. But I just so deeply appreciate you. And I'm so grateful that I got to do this because I've been trying not to fangirl the entire time. But like, you're live on my screen and I'm not used to it.
And the thing is, like, I am just a weirdo, a weirdy who just...
Nah.
I'm just some girl. I'm just a lady.
Well, I love you. I love you. I love your space that you're in, and I can't wait to hang out more.
I can't wait. So, it's going to be great. Anyways. Tell people on the internet where, A, they can follow your work and find your work, B, where they can stream the music, and C, where they can watch the music video.
Yeah. So if you go to my website, I know that nobody does that anymore, but derekweb.com, or just go anywhere.
Derek
Webb. Yeah, all places. DerekWebb. Just go and... I'm in all the places, and that's so. I do hope people will find the video, the new records, the Jesus Hypothesis. Go listen to it, I guess.
It's good. It's a good record too.
Thank you. Gosh, thanks for listening to it.
Yeah, It's one of those records where like, you want to be listening. At least for, it was one of those things where just like I can't be doing other things while listening to it.
My albums are selfish. Like that's like kind of that's the kind of songs I write. I'm selfish like that. Like I'm not interested in I don't release singles. I'm not interested in saying something I can say in 3 or 4 minutes. I need like a good hour. Which I know really opts me out of most people's headphones, but like I want to say one thing 10 ways. I don't want to say 10 things. Like I want to spend some time.
The complete opposite. I want to say.
Really?
I want to say 10. Well, I guess it.
No, I hear both. I hear both coming out of you.
Yeah.
I hear what's happening.
Let's sign off before all these people like kick us off or like blathering on and do a southern goodbye. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
That was my conversation with Derek Webb. If you liked that episode, go back and listen to the last one I did with Flamey Grant, where we talk about what the video creation process was like. It's a cool double feature episode this week, and I'm actually really glad I got both of these out. So if you like this, if you like Derek, go follow all of his shit at derekwebb.com and at derekwebb across social media. The album is called The Jesus Hypothesis, and it's available to stream everywhere. I love you, Dick. Derek, I'll see you real soon. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me. And if you like the show and you want to help us out, there's a couple of ways you can do that. One, leave us a review. A little 5-star moment on Apple iTunes and also on Spotify really does help get us in the ears of more people. And I would love to be in the ears of more people, you know, because this is a good show and I want to continue to grow this community. And speaking of community, if you want to join our Discord channel, all you got to do is become a part of our Patreon community. Go to patreon.com/thekevingarcia and just join at any level and you'll be automatically joined up to our exclusive Discord channel. You'll also get merch quarterly. You'll also get extra stuff from me. So please, if you're trying to do this on your own, stop it. Come hang out with us. It's a crowded table for everybody. Lastly, just a couple of reminders. The mostly men's retreat called Love Hard, Live True is happening August 4th. You can check out the link in my bio to get registered for that. And then Queer Kin Weekend is coming up 2 weeks after that, August 17th through the 20th, near Knoxville, Tennessee. Space is limited, 14 beds, baby. So if you want to be a part of that, a queer spiritual weekend, you can come hang out with me. TheKevinGarcia.com/retreat. That's it, y'all. I'll see you next week. Be who you are for your pride. Bye.